Shalom and good morning.
We want to focus on the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. We want to deal with verses 14 all the way to 29. And in this, we are looking at the place of perseverance during the race of faith through careful listening to the one who speaks. We are actually coming to summarize the message or the words that the author of this book began. He talked about in the beginning or in the former days or in the old system, God spoke. And he spoke to his children. He spoke to the rest of us, everybody. But he spoke through the mediators. He spoke through the messengers. He spoke through the angels. He spoke through the ministries of the blood of animals and goats and bulls, so that that blood would be able to speak on behalf, because even the blood was speaking. But these last days, he speaks through his son. He speaks through himself because his son is God in human person. And so today we are so privileged to have God speak to us again directly. But I want to remind you, before Adam and Eve sinned, God was speaking to Adam one-on-one, face-to-face. God would come at the cool of the day, and he didn't need any mediator. He didn't need any sacrifice. Let me remind you, Adam did not need any sacrifice. Adam and Eve did not need any sacrifice for God to speak to them, because God would come by himself. This is the perfect will of God. It has been. When God created the heavens and the earth, when God created Adam and Eve, that was the will of God, for God to come to speak to them directly. But sin came, and that's where the mediators or mediatory system was erected. Now that Jesus Christ came to return us to the perfect, to have the second creation, what we call the redemption of our sins, the payment of the penalty that Adam sinned has been paid by Jesus. God speaks to us directly. And this is the key message of the book of Hebrews. So, what do we do? This book is saying that we need to keep moving. We need to keep running the race. Why? We have got crowd of witnesses. He calls the people cloud because they are not accountable. There are so many. They're not countable. There are so many who have finished. If we think we are the only one, there are those who went ahead of us, even with a lot of struggle, and they are cheering us up. But then, number two, yesterday we saw we need to throw up or to throw away everything that easily beset us or comes in between, and everything we discovered is both positive and negative, even success. Then we need to throw off the sin that easily also come between us, so that we can run the race set before us. Then we need also to focus on Jesus Christ, the one who began this race of faith. And we also need, I remembered yesterday we never completed everything. Something happened in our talk because we used the phone. We praise God for it. So the other thing we need to say is that we need now to endure. We endure the hardship. Now that is the key thing that we need to say today. We need to endure hardship. There are many things that happens to us that are hardship. And we need to look at hardship as part of, discipline. Now that's the word. And we need to know that God considers us as his children. We need to know that God is priest with us. We are not alone on this race. When Jesus sent his disciples, he said, I'll be with you to the end of the age. So let's take even the things that we struggle with, the struggle that we resist, even to the point of shedding blood, as he says. We do that knowing and remembering that we are considered as children of God, that God is our Father. God is not the author of bad things. He will not let us be destroyed on the way. He did not start us off to destroy us in the wilderness. It pleases him to make us finish. And he says, he calls us my son. And then he says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose the heart, even if he rebukes you, because he disciplines the one he loves. And he chastens everyone he accepts as sons. This is very critical for us to be able to endure. We need to know that we are running as sons of God. And we need to endure hardship as discipline. This is what we have just said, because God treats us as his son. And then he asked, even in ordinary, is there any son that was not disciplined by their father? Sometimes the father disciplines us as they saw. Sometimes their discipline was not good, yet we persevered the discipline of our other father. How much more do we endure the discipline of our Father in heaven? Because he disciplines us because we are respected of him. We should submit to the Spirit of God so that we may live. They discipline us for a little while, but the discipline of God is to make us to share the good things that are in heaven, to share the holiness of God, to share, the peace of God. Because he says, though the discipline we go through as we run through the race is not present at that time, but it's painful, of course. Discipline is painful. But later on, it produces the harvest of righteousness, peace, if we are trained by it. And finally, he said that we need to strengthen our feeble arms and knees, and we make the revel for our feet, those paths that we are moving on, we make the revel so that we are not be disabled, but we are healed. And so, as we continue today, there are now warnings. It would be good for us to get to know that there are some warnings. See, that we must make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one can see God. Then we are given an example as a warning of somebody who took the discipline and the race in vain. That person was called Esau. It's a warning. So he says, see to it that you know no one falls short of the grace of God, because the grace of God is the one that helps us to run this race of faith. And that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See to it that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance right as his eldest son. Afterwards, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. Even though he sought the blessing with tears, he could not change what he had done. Now, this is a warning that people like Esau, they were able to make light of the discipline of the Lord and the grace of God. They exchanged, in fact, they sold the birthright as they were running, because it was difficult for them on the race, especially when his brother came and demanded that he sold his birthright. He did that. Why? He said, what is birthright if today I'm going through trouble? In other words, he never looked beyond. This chapter, chapter 12, is about looking beyond. And so we are told, as a warning. If you do not do that, if you do like Esau, we will be rejected. When Esau wanted to get what he has lost, he sought with tears, but he never got it. Finally, the author now tells us to hear him who is speaking. God is still speaking. As he spoke in the first time on the mountain, the Lord is still speaking to us today. So let's not forget the one who speaks. For you have not come to the mountain that can be touched, and that is burning with fire, darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken, because they could not bear what was commanded. Even if an animal touched the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, "I'm trembling with fear." But you have come to the mountain, or to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousand upon thousand of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirit of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, "Once more, I'll shake not only the earth, but also the heavens." The words "once more" indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken must remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. So worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for God is a consuming fire. Now, this is a reminder to us that our God is still speaking to this very day. Those who heard him speak, they begged that they would not hear him speak to them, because it was so terrifying. So we need to be reminded that today, we have not come to such a mountain as the one that these people received those days. We have come to God himself. We have come to the gentle God, as he has always been, and the will of God that he has always desired to speak to us, as he spoke through Adam and Eve in the beginning before sin. And because Jesus has already shed blood, the blood that speaks better than the blood of Abel, we need to come to that blood, because that blood is going to speak on our behalf. It's going to let us hear him. So do not stop him from speaking to us. The Lord is speaking. And because the Lord is speaking, and this is the challenge we're having today, we need to listen. We need to be in the sight of God as he spoke to us. Father, give us the ability to hear you. Give us the ears to hear your voice, in Jesus' name.